Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Gas prices continue to fall in the United States. It's the first sign of relief in more than 5 months. NPR's Arzu Rezvani reports that prices are expected to keep falling in the weeks ahead.
The national average price for regular gasoline in the U.S. has dipped below $4 a gallon for the first time since March. Reduced demand among consumers and increased oil output fueled the drop in prices. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis for Gas Buddy, says he expects the drop to continue for the next couple of weeks.
Barring things like hurricanes or unexpected disruptions, we could ultimately fall another 20 or 30 cents a gallon if we see everything go smoothly.
The drop in gas prices helped drive down inflation in July, but consumer prices are still up from a year ago. Arzu Rezvani, NPR News, Los Angeles.
There's been growing backlash in response to the FBI's raid on former President Donald Trump's Florida estate. Speaking on WOWT television, FBI Director Christopher Wray says he's disturbed about violent threats that have surfaced on social media.
Any threats made against law enforcement, including the men and women of the FBI, as with any law enforcement agency, are deplorable and dangerous.
Congressional Republicans have come to Trump's defense in recent days, accusing the government of going by way of the Gestapo and calling to defund the FBI. The Justice Department's investigation is reportedly linked to Trump's handling of classified documents before he left the White House in 2021. Today marks 5 years since white nationalists gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia, for a Unite the Right rally. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports the event turned deadly when a neo-Nazi drove his car through a crowd of counter-protesters.
The terror in Charlottesville started on August 11, 2017, as white supremacists marched on the University of Virginia campus bearing torches. The next day, a rally downtown around a Confederate statue turned violent, and neo-Nazi James Fields rammed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, injuring dozens of people and killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer. Her mother, Susan Brough.
I think the biggest lesson is none of us pay attention, including me, until it happens to you. As long as anybody's marginalized, this is going to continue to happen.
A walking vigil of remembrance is planned Friday in Charlottesville. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Stocks are trading higher on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 162 points. The Nasdaq Composite also trading higher, up 4. The S&P up 16 points. This is NPR News in Washington. A nationwide curfew has been declared in Sierra Leone amid violent anti-government protests. Videos on social media show hundreds of demonstrators clashing with security forces on the streets of Freetown. The West African country has been struggling with rising inflation and a massive spike in fuel prices. North Korea claims it has eradicated COVID-19 in the country some 3 months after reporting its first outbreak. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports for more than 2 years, North Korea claimed not to have any COVID cases, a claim widely doubted by experts.
State media reported that leader Kim Jong-un declared victory over COVID-19 at a meeting on Wednesday and ordered some epidemic prevention measures to be scaled back. The North claims to have had a total of about 4.8 million fever cases in a country of some 26 million. Few of those have been confirmed as COVID-19 due to limited testing capacity. Kim's sister told the meeting that her brother suffered a high fever during the outbreak but did not confirm that he had COVID. Kim Jong-un credited North Korea's socialist system with the victory, while his sister blamed South Korea for spreading the disease into the North. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
At least 9 people are dead after record rainfall in parts of South Korea. The capital city, Seoul, has received more than 2 feet of rain this week, flooding roadways, washing away cars, and submerging homes. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News, in Washington.